Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
I said your name.
Who am I? Existential crisis. I'm Kendra.
Everybody's tired today. And I'm Anne. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart. If you haven't listened in before, this is usually what you find on the show. Just some silly with some serious.
I have to say, I haven't told our listeners this, but I feel like now is a good time to confess that Eric and I are expecting another little girl. And the pregnancy brain just showed when I can't say my own name. So I just want to say,
well, I almost said it, and that's why I was silent for a second.
We have two pregnant ladies here sitting at the mic, so we need the Holy Spirit to help us get through every episode. But thank you to all of the listeners who have specifically said that they were praying for us.
Sure.
Anne and I both do not at all take lightly those prayers, and we are courageously looking forward to welcoming a new little girl, into our family, in addition to Eliana.
And I didn't know if you were about to say girl or if we were going to keep that on the down low.
If we did the test right, then yes. So we'll update you if we were wrong. But anyway.
So we're excited about two new best friends. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, Hannah's Heart. We cover infertility and miscarriage, child loss, adoption, all kinds of ways that the Lord could choose to grow your family or choose to keep your family looking like what it looks
as
like.
As you cling to him during that process.
Right, as your relationship grows with the Lord. And so, go ahead and introduce our guest again.
We have wonderful guests on. This is a part two episode, but I'm going to give you a quick recap. We have Ben and Sheila Hurst, all the way from Pennsylvania, that they drove down to be here in studio with us.
From Pennsylvania to Mississippi.
We're
still
so happy to meet them.
Yep.
You guys, they have an incredible story, and we only even got a tip of the iceberg last episode. So I just want to quickly update you. They had several years of struggling with infertility after meeting each other, went through six rounds of IUIs, and felt like the medical world had really just kind of abandoned you and let you down in a huge way. They were kind of holding on to a promise from God that he had a baby for them, and feeling relationally strained with your marriage, feeling personally and emotionally drained mentally, and even with God, trying to trust him during that time. Of course, he had grace for the journey. And then, on top of all of that, you guys shared at the end of our last episode that you had a pregnancy and ended up being an ectopic pregnancy and ending in miscarriage. So let's start right there. How do you pick up the pieces after years of infertility and you finally get this hope that feels like just a punch in the gut? Like, how did you start to pick up the pieces and trust God?
Well, honestly, you know, after that time period, once everything settled medically, I was angry, not necessarily at God, but in that time period, we really recognized that we had quite a few people that we knew, couples that we knew, or couples that we knew of, who were struggling with infertility. Some had experienced miscarriage. Most of them, it was just infertility. And, you know, we believe that, honestly, that not everything is, you can't lay everything at God's doorstep, that we live in a fallen world, and we have an enemy. And so sometimes there are natural things that, because we live in a broken, decaying world, that things don't work. But also we have an enemy that sometimes does steal, kill, and destroy, like the Bible says. And so I became mainly angry at him, angry that we were experiencing this, that others were experiencing it. And we made a list, and we could list 12 couples.
Wow.
Just in our circle, and
just
then
we were immediately connected to, and a few
a few extended beyond that.
Yeah, this issue is so prevalent.
It really is
prevalent. And I
these were people struggling.
Yes.
These were people struggling. And we really decided, you know, we need to go beyond where we are and pray for them, because this is a bigger issue than just us. And we want breakthrough. And we want breakthrough, of course, for ourselves, but we want breakthrough for our friends as well. And so that year, it would have been 2021, was the first year that we started. We decided that when Mother's Day was coming up, which of course is like a killer, you know, but we really felt like that time period between Mother's Day and Father's Day, we needed purpose. And so we decided we would fast from Mother's Day to Father's Day, not a complete fast. God, we're not saints. We're not saints or superheroes here, but something. I think the first year we may have fasted supper.
Just so we had more time together to actually pray and focus
very
together.
Very intentional.
Yeah.
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 And so we just made this commitment to ourselves and to the Lord to cover these couples. And as we prayed and did that, it felt like there were more and more couples that we found out about. I had been involved or invited to a prayer meeting by one of Ben's cousins in Lancaster County when we were living there. And it was specifically to pray for women struggling with infertility or miscarriage. And out of that group, I don't remember the stats to date, but they have seen, I think, over a dozen babies born to couples struggling with infertility.
That's amazing.
Just out of these meetings of gathering women together to pray and intercede for them. And so I really wanted to also, felt like I needed to do that. That was something that she wasn't able to do anymore, and it was at a distance. So I did hold our first prayer meeting was, I think, October of 2021. There were four brave ladies who showed up, and then just some women who would gather around us and pray for us.
Some real prayer intercede. Warriors and close friends who get it.
Yeah.
And were kind of there in the trenches with us, you know, fighting, praying, listening. We invited those.
That's incredible. I want to go back to what the intentional time of choosing to fast and pray for other couples.
Yeah.
Because I think that when we fast, it tells our flesh that the spirit man is more important. And I feel like a lot of times bondage just breaks off when you do that. And especially when you're praying for somebody else and when you have so much pain in your own life, it is so helpful sometimes to focus on somebody else. Do you think that it accomplished anything in your spiritual life through praying through others, praying for others?
You know, I hope so. I believe that it did. I think there was some heaviness that lifted after that time period.
And your perspective of those couples as those babies came shifted too, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So it was, I think, the following year, I think, until we saw any answers to our prayers. And it was one of the dear couples that had come, one of the ladies that had come to the prayer meeting, that she and her husband were actually doing IVF. They had some medical limitations that they were fighting against. And they had their last two embryos. And transferred them in December, and she conceived. This was their last chance. The beautiful thing is that God was working in her heart, and if she would share her testimony, she was walking through some prayer ministry at our church at the same time and finding freedom for her heart. And then the Lord gifted her this baby out of that. So we saw that first baby, and that was actually really beautiful and allowed us, you know, to, instead of feeling jealous over someone else who has received that gift, we were able to rejoice and actually feel like in the spirit realm, we had some ownership or some part.
Like your prayer was answered.
Yes. And it really did kind of feed us that we're not hadn't received the answered prayer in our bodies, but we were seeing answers to prayer. And so we knew that God hadn't abandoned us. He was still listening, even though our prayers for ourselves weren't being answered. So I think out of that, we've held two prayer meetings, I think, back-to-back years in 2021 and 2022. And I think of the couples that we have prayed for, I think we have six, I think, answered prayers.
Wow. Amen.
Out of those. And so...
I need to have a picture of all those babies, all those kiddos.
I'd love to. Unfortunately, there are like scattered out all over, I think, Pennsylvania. But... Yeah.
Well, we encourage couples, you know, on the show, try to, we say not waste your weight, you know. But yeah, how to still serve and, you know, still give of yourself, even though it's really, really hard, you know, as you're walking through infertility. And like, this is just such a beautiful example, I feel like, of that. Something that, I mean, you could choose not to pray for those other couples to have a baby because their prayers could be answered before yours. But humbling yourself enough to be able to do that and then praising the Lord for that life. I mean, what a gift of humility, you know, to be able to do that. So I thank y'all for sharing that.
I think that's a great idea for our listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, what comes next? You have this whole season of like, now we're not doing anything. Medical community failed. We're just praying and you're kind of on pause for a long time. What happened next?
So I had been meeting with a friend from church. We were going through a book study together and he knew my story. I mean, he knew all kinds of stuff about where we were, what we had gone through. And he suggested a practitioner, Divine Mercy, and suggested them that they had friends that went through this. And it was a completely different approach to infertility care and women's health. And it was a faith-based background, which I was really intrigued by. And so I, after that meeting, I really decided, I'm going to look into this. Like, I am interested in this.
So I think, like, what? He's finally taking it, isn't
he?
So, I was going to say, we talked about the man not being involved in these kind of things.
So honestly, that was where I was in handling things emotionally. I was afraid of being let down again by him, that I don't want to get into something that we're not on the same page by, on, whatever that preposition is. He brought this to me and said, I really want to look into this. And I said, if you would like to do this, go ahead. I would like you to look into it if this is something that you want to do. So he did. He went and researched and he came to me. And if you listen to the first part of our story, you know that there were some warning signs that I was experiencing that made me think that something was not quite right in my body. And I had been saying to him that I felt like I got to a certain point in my cycle, and it was like somehow the hormones that were supposed to, I was supposed to transition from one hormone to another, and somehow that second hormone just wasn't there, and it would drop me. So it felt like something wasn't right. So he looked into this and came to me and said, it looks like this is what you're looking for. Because they took a very natural approach to a woman's hormones, a woman's body, instead of going the approach of IUI or IVF, where they kind of override.
Let's not fix the problem. Let's just bypass.
Correct. And so,
expensively.
Very true.
Well, and the expensive, let's talk about that, because so this is under NAPRO technology, natural procreative technology. And because it is treating underlying conditions instead of doing fertility treatment,
which often aren't covered through insurance programs.
IUI, IVF are not covered, but treating the underlying conditions often is.
Wow. So you mean you didn't have unexplained infertility? There was something causing
it? Correct. Yes. So they, in order to, before we would even have our first patient appointment, mm-hmm. we had to learn a charting method mm-hmm. called the Creighton Model Charting Method. And it gives a really good visual. It's a very scientific method. Mm-hmm. You have to work with a teacher mm-hmm. who is licensed to teach you this. And we had, I think, a couple of months worth mm-hmm. of cycles mm-hmm. On paper to be able to take to our first meeting. But when we got there and opened our chart, I felt like she read more from that than we had ever received from our yeah. fertility yeah. Specialist.
Like you felt seen and right. like yeah. listened to you. Everything makes sense.
Why I did.
I think we left that first appointment with the nurse practitioner yeah. probably feeling more encouraged mm. than we had in that all of the previous several years wow. of yes. different attempts and
that's one thing we've talked about on the show before. This is not trying to take the place of God being your mm-hmm. biggest advocate, sure. but like you do have to be your mm-hmm. biggest advocate, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. I think you mentioned in at the end of the last show when you were talking about the ectopic pregnancy, you had been bleeding and, you know, they said there's...
They dismissed it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you felt like there was something going on.
Trust your
and
instincts.
And then there mm-hmm. really was. It was yeah. an ectopic pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And we've experienced mm-hmm. the same thing even through John Micah's pregnancy. There were things that I remember telling the doctors mm-hmm. that didn't seem right, didn't feel mm-hmm. right. And nobody did anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do, I'm not saying like go bust down some doors, but.
Might have to when bust
you,
down some doors.
Right, right. When you need mm-hmm. to learn to be your biggest advocate, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. if you feel like the Holy Spirit's the one saying like, I didn't make mm-hmm. your body to do this, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you started with them. Did they come to any conclusions about what might be causing your infertility?
So she latched on to what was already in my chart, mm-hmm. That there was a possibility of polyps. Mm-hmm. I think I had, after the miscarriage, I had had several ultrasounds, and they located a fibroid. Mm. So they knew that was there. And we left that first appointment on a wait list mm. for surgery, mm. oh. which wow. felt really extreme
well,
to me.
Well, a wait list for a consultation.
For
surgery.
For surgery, yeah. yes.
Which if you're in the fertility world, just know, like, stuff takes way longer. That, like, usually when you're mm. on a wait list to get in a consult, like, you're looking at a year or two often before you can really yeah. get
I think that was in January.
Yeah.
No. That
so
was...
we were put on the wait list in, I think, October. Mm-hmm. And we were expecting a consultation in February. This is one of the things
February to March, something like that.
Really saw, I think, the hand of the Lord in. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just really felt like, I feel like this is going to happen sooner. Mm-hmm. And so I was praying, like, Lord, I'm just asking for a consultation before the end of January. Mid-January, I got a phone call from Divine Mercy Women's Health, and they said, we had a cancellation for diagnostic surgery in 2 weeks, and we wondered if you wanted to have it.
Well, they said, we knew your story and that you're yeah. waiting for this before you can move forward.
Yes.
So they reached out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Not just for the consultation, but,
going surgery.
Like straight to the diagnostics.
Yeah. So we scheduled the consultation like the week before surgery, which doesn't typically happen. But I had diagnostic surgery on January 26th of 2023.
Okay.
And what they found was actually quite shocking to us. I had stage 4 endometriosis.
Wow.
And I did
and you
not.
Weren't showing. Signs of that?
I had none of the typical symptoms.
Wow.
And what we learned is that quite often women with unexplained infertility, even if they don't have the typical pain, the heavy bleeding that is typically associated with endometriosis, often they have endometriosis. And what endometriosis does is it puts your body in fight mode. Mm-hmm. And so it will... You'll have increased inflammation and increased immune response, and that can, your body will kill sperm, mm-hmm. anything that it recognizes as foreign. And so it can prevent mm-hmm. conception, because it will recognize even that embryo mm-hmm. as something to fight against.
Yeah. Wow.
So kind of fast forward, yeah. we had this diagnostic surgery with Dr. Naomi Whitaker, who has just been fantastic this whole time. Mm-hmm. She understands that she's walked through endometriosis herself. Mm-hmm. And so she really...
And this would have caused problems, not just with your fertility, but potentially other issues of your life had mm-hmm. it never been dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Where the endometriosis was in my abdomen would have caused additional health problems that would have surfaced later right. in life. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful that we caught it at this stage.
Mm-hmm. And now she's working with the Creighton model and other things to try to help you to conceive after the surgery. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we had the diagnostic surgery in January, and then we were scheduled in June for two back-to-back surgeries to remove the endometriosis.
Okay.
And
then there was a further follow-up.
Yes, there was one follow-up
so
surgery
in September.
So yes. many steps.
Another smaller surgery in September, I guess.
Yes, with a different specialist. Because I had endometriosis on my diaphragm.
Yeah.
It can be really oh, wow. anywhere. And so we needed another specialist. So now that everything is mm-hmm. Done, we are at the point where we're using that Creighton model mm-hmm. To optimize fertility mm-hmm. and optimize my hormones. Mm-hmm. My hormone levels were also very, very low, which I didn't realize, but that was what was causing those drops in the middle of my cycle. Yeah. I want to circle back around to...
Please, I was just about to go there. We're almost out of time.
Yes, the coffee cup. So we were on our way back from right after surgery from one mm-hmm. of the post-operative appointments. And we stopped at a little Christian coffee shop halfway home.
We thought, you know, it's tough anyway. Let's enjoy this. Let's have fun. Let's do something along the way. So I ordered a hot coffee and... You know, we sat down and one of the girls brought her drinks out and I spun mine around, had like a little insulator on it mm-hmm. and there was a verse written on it, which was really nice. And I looked at this verse almost in stunned disbelief. It was Isaiah 60:22. And I looked at it and what she had written, I don't know what translation she used, but it said, When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen.
Which is exactly what the Lord has told you how many years previously?
Years and years prior.
Yeah. So this is 2023.
Yes.
And the Lord told you that in 2017.
Yes.
Honestly, we had no idea it was an actual verse in the Bible.
Right.
And what a sign that the Lord is saying, you're on the path that I have for you.
I see you.
I see you in the middle of this journey.
And there's so many times that I have questioned that. Was that the Lord? Did I hear him?
Because, you know, the longer things go, you kind of start to question and wonder.
Yeah.
And
so
that was kind of a confirmation, like, okay.
You mentioned off air some songs that had ministered to you in different seasons of your infertility. We only have a few minutes, but can you share a couple of those quick highlights for our listeners?
You're the musical one.
share just the last one, the most recent one, if that is better.
So the most recent one is actually just released, mm-hmm. But it was it's a song by Rita Springer. Mm-hmm. She's releasing an album very soon called Fed by Ravens, out of a wilderness experience of all the things. The chorus says,
in the desert, shaking my
fist. Me in the desert, shaking my fist. Is God still good? I think he is. Find me in the wreckage with praise on my lips. Is God still good? I think he is. Mm. I think he is.
Mm. Wow. That got me going.
And I love you shared that a lot of people gave her flack for saying that. And later she does mention in the song, I know he is. Mm. But what I love about that, Rod, is like every one of us can relate to that season of life where like my faith is believing in something that I cannot see. Mm. Yeah. And that sometimes in our faith journey, it's God, I am... choosing to believe that you're good, but it doesn't feel it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm choosing this. Yeah. And that, you know, I'm angry at you, but I'm choosing to need you and believe mm-hmm. in you. And that's exactly where you guys are in the journey.
Yeah. One of the things that we've kind of said is, you know, some people could run away from the Lord in seasons like this. And the one thing we've thought is, but where else are we going to go? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, well, and the fed by ravens.
There's nowhere else to go to receive the encouragement, just the safe refuge to run to. It's like, where else would we go?
And in those moments in the desert, he provides that daily manna. Those ravens were feeding the prophet to be able to get you through to the next day. Mm-hmm. And, one last thing for any of our listeners who are listening that you relate to their journey. If God did it for this couple, he can do it for you. Mm-hmm. And he can sustain you in the wilderness and be that breath of fresh air that you need. And he can also give you those little reminders of I'm with you.
God wink.
Yes. One of our listeners used that term. We love it.
Now, I appreciate that artist for saying, I think he is. Because sometimes it really does feel unsure. But I think that that's where the Lord can really use us and bring us up off our knees again, you know, to never really fully acknowledge that he is still good, even when our fists are in the air. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your story. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.